Well, good morning. It is good to be together this morning. Amen? Well, you know, before I start my sermon, I just got a little news to share. It's exciting news. Yes. On Wednesday, I became a grandmother. I am so excited. You can't see it, but my shirt says Nana Jules. Isn't that great? So excited. So this is sweet Conrad Lee. He was born on Wednesday, 7 pounds, 9 ounces, 20 inches long. I think it was 8:52, 8:53 in the morning. But just what a blessing he is to me and my family, and just what a joy. So I thought, you know, before we get into this message, I just got to share my good news. I told you, it's just a month of celebration for me and my family. So in fact, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, how can I get over to see? I think I'm just going to go right from here. Right? Because I got to just get my dose of him every day. So just such a blessing. And I just covet your prayers for this little guy. Again, just such a dream come true in my life and my son's life and his wife. So we are in the midst of our sermon series, Smile for the Camera, right? There's going to be a lot of pictures coming for this little guy. He doesn't even know it. I want to just do a special shout out to our band this morning, to our team. Picture perfect, right? We had a kind of an image in our mind of what worship was going to look like today, and it kept evolving. Kimmy and her brothers were scheduled to do worship today, as we know, but what I didn't know that Kimmy has been in Japan for the past 2 weeks, and we didn't know if her flight was going to make it in or not, so I'm grateful for the team that came together to make worship happen this morning. God promises to never leave us or forsake us, so we are so grateful that he has just been with us throughout this morning, and I just am grateful for his servants that have these gifts and abilities, because I can talk, but that's about it. We're not going to ask me to sing. But just so grateful. And I was talking to Kimmy. I said, so what time is it for you? And so it's probably about 9, 10 o'clock for her at night. So literally it's almost noon. And she can say she's had a full day already, right? She's already had a full day. So I'm going to take us back in time a little bit to the mid-70s. Kodak had the market on taking pictures. 90% of film sales and 85% of camera sales all belong to Kodak. And they manufactured inexpensive cameras so that everyone could afford one and be able to take their own pictures. And they had this tagline. Some of you may be familiar, remember? A Kodak moment. Some of us still say it today, and young folks probably don't have any idea of what that means, but it's a Kodak moment. In fact, I've been having a lot of Kodak moments over the past several days. So back in the day, some of you may remember with me that we'd put the roll of film in, right, and you would load the camera, you'd click it to get it till you got it in place, and then when that last picture was done on the roll, it would wind up, and what would we do? We would open up the back, take it out, put it in the little canister. It was a gray canister with a black lid. And we take it to the drugstore or somewhere where we would get pictures developed. And we couldn't wait to get our pictures back to see how they turned out. And a lot of times we'd have to throw away some of those pictures, right? Because they would be blurry. Maybe they were too dark. They didn't turn out just right. And then in the late 90s, early 2000, the digital camera came on the scene and emerged. And now we have smartphones. Not only can these phones, we can talk and text and email, but we can also take some pretty amazing pictures. You see, Kodak went from being the giant of photography to filing bankruptcy in 2012. Technology has allowed us to take the perfect picture. We have control now to adjust the color. We can crop, we can add filters, we can take the red eye out, we can make it black and white if we want to. And we can even take a picture of ourselves called a selfie, right? Imagine like back in the day if we would have had our Kodak camera, it would look just as silly as it does today, would be my guess. You see, we can look at pictures, right? And we can make ourselves look as good as we want to look. But many times there's a story behind most pictures. I don't know if you're like me, but you know, you'll be sifting through albums or sifting through maybe pictures on your phone, and there's a memory that comes back. And a lot of times there's a story behind our pictures. I'm going to transition to movies. We are big Avenger fans in our household, and for the past 11 years, we've come to know and love some ordinary and extraordinary characters, one being Steve Rogers, Bruce Banner, and Tony Stark, just to name a couple. otherwise known as Captain America, Hulk, and Iron Man, and on April 26th, it all came to an end. This movie has made over $2.4 billion worldwide. I helped contribute to that amount. Anybody else? Yeah, glad I'm not alone. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. We watched in anticipation of how this all was going to come to an end. And we look at this image up here on the screen, and we see superheroes that are picture perfect, so to speak, posing for the camera. Of course, they're too cool to smile, right? But they're posing for the camera. And just with most photos, again, there's no such thing as picture perfect. For many, there's a story behind the picture. And again, this is the case with this group of individuals. One of the things that that we love about the Avengers is that they're ordinary people with ordinary problems. Take, for example, Iron Man, a.k.a. Tony Stark. He is self-proclaimed billionaire, playboy, philanthropist with an ego the size of Texas. And he's always trying to find happiness in the wrong places. And then we have Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America. Before he was a superhero, he was frozen in time. And I don't know if you remember with me the beginning of how his story starts, but he was physically unfit. Physically unfit. And then we have Bruce Banner, right? And we know who Bruce Banner is. He's the Incredible Hulk. And let's just say he has anger issues. He has anger issues to a certain extent that his body physically transforms. He transforms when he gets angry. And then we have Scott Lang, who is Ant-Man. To me, this is just a little bit of a stretch for an ant becoming a superhero, especially an Avenger. But I love his backstory. He's a thief, a con man, and a convict, but also a superhero. So ordinary people with unique abilities and struggles to overcome their weaknesses, to use those abilities to be better than they thought that they could be. And over the past 11 years, they've come together to fight against evil. They've ended up having a clash of egos, and even in some films, they have fought against each other. And then, of course, reuniting to save the world, because that's what superheroes do. That is what they do. You see, we all have a story, again, and there's a story behind the pictures. You see, how we see ourselves and how God sees us are two different things. You see, God loves us, and all of our imperfections, our faults, our failures, and our dysfunctions. And to Him, we are picture perfect. Picture perfect. As we strive to learn and grow from our Heavenly Father, we know that He sent Jesus to bridge the gap between man and God, and for us to be restored and find our wholeness and our salvation in Christ. Here are these words from Colossians, the third chapter. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. You see, spiritual maturity begins in the mind. It's where our priorities and our perspectives are formed. Scripture tells us we die to our old ways, raised to new life, new purpose. Seek and set your mind on things above. If your focus is on heavenly things, then you will obey God with the earthly things. We know through nature, and especially this time of year, that caterpillars go through a process after just a few weeks. They form this chrysalis, and inside this chrysalis is when the transformation happens, taking up to 2 weeks. And in that transformation, a beautiful butterfly is formed. I love this quote from Charles Swindoll. He says, "We can't don a new wardrobe ourselves any more than a caterpillar can clip on a set of wings and call itself a butterfly. An inward transformation must take place." Transformed. A new view of others around us, new view of other Christians, a new value system. You know, something to think about as I was pondering this message is that God never intended a caterpillar to stay a caterpillar. God never intended a caterpillar to stay a caterpillar. He created it to grow wings and fly. But first, it had to go through transformation. God didn't create you to leave you where you are. God did not create you to leave you where you are. Rather, he created you anew in Christ. We have been given free will. It's a choice to be transformed and to grow wings and fly ourselves. You see, we have a choice. We can stay in this chrysalis, or we can allow the Spirit of God to give wind to our wings. To be a follower of Christ, we are called to be courageous, but also to be vulnerable. As Christ followers, the worst thing that we can do is to pretend that we've got it all together. And some of us do. Sometimes I pretend like I have it all together. Many times people are turned off by Christianity because they consider Christians hypocrites. People might say that of you and I. Oh, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. They say this, they believe this, but this is how they're living their life. And someone had shared a story with me that they reluctantly joined a small group. But they were pleasantly surprised when they joined this group, because what they found was a group of authentic people, people that shared their struggles and that they were real people. And this person, it changed everything for them, because they saw that this could be a place where they could be real and vulnerable and accepted in the midst of all their imperfection. You see, none of us lead a perfect life, but we strive to be the best that we can, the best version of Jesus in each and every one of us. I work at it each and every day myself. You see, we have to choose courage and authenticity over our own comfort. Jesus takes the tests of our lives and turns them into testimonies. And then he also takes the mess of our lives and turns them into a message. It takes courage and vulnerability. I love Brené Brown, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with her. She has a special on Netflix right now called Called to Courage. And she talks about this idea of vulnerability and how you can't have vulnerability without courage and how the two go hand in hand. And she spoke about living in the arena of being courageous and real. And she says in the arena that you're gonna fail and you're gonna experience heartbreak. Vulnerability is the courage to show up when you can't control the outcome. And then, as we know, there are spectators in the arena. You find different seats in the arena. And the higher you go, if you think with me, if we're at a Reds game, if we're at a Bengals game, the higher you go, the cheaper the seats are. And you're not even close to being down on the arena. But you know who we find up there? The haters, right? Because they're not in the arena. They just want to tell us everything that we're doing wrong. But it takes courage to be in the arena. And you know what? We're not in there alone. We've got others to help us when we've fallen down, to help us get back up. Hear these words from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You see, Paul is talking about reconciliation. It is a cross that brought man and God together again. God does not have to be reconciled to man. It is us in our sinful nature that we must be reconciled to God. So step back with me again with the Avengers. With the Avengers, they have a new identity, right? Their superhero role. As followers of Christ, we have a new identity. And friends, I want to tell you this morning that you are worthy of that new identity. It's has been interesting in this final movie to see how all the superheroes either progressed or regressed, right? And one of my favorite characters is Rocket the Raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but I just love Rocket. And Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor, had a bit of a rough time between the last couple of movies. And Rocket says to him that he looks like a big glob of melted ice cream. I don't want to be a spoiler alert for you. But after the Infinity War happened in that previous movie, he enjoyed a life of video games and some alcoholic beverages and probably some ice cream. But it was just interesting to see what they did with his character. And one of the things that we learn from Thor's life is that he struggled in all of these movies, even up until the very end, with feeling worthy. And in the first movie, his father took away his hammer, he took away his power, and he struggled with his worthiness. And at the end of the movie, there was a period of struggle in Endgame, and the hammer came back to him. The hammer came back to Thor, and his response was, "I'm still worthy. I'm still worthy." Friends, today, know that you are worthy of all that God has for you. Hear these words from Colossians, the first chapter. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work, as you grow in the knowledge of God. You are worthy. Picture perfect. There's a story behind every picture. But this is what God sees. He sees you as his beloved sons and daughters, who loves you even in your flaws, in your brokenness, and wants you to know that you are worthy, worthy of his love. Let us pray. God, we come before you and we just thank you for this time this morning, this time of worship, where you come and meet us this morning. Some of us have come into this space feeling a little broken, maybe feeling like we're not worthy of anything in our lives right now. So God, I just pray that those of us that are listening online, that are here in this space, that they would just feel, Lord, your presence here around them, to know that they are loved, that they are worthy. That God, you call each and every one of us by name. We thank you for this place called Faith Community. As we come to gather and worship and praise you this day, we thank you for a team that has gathered at the last moment to bring us into your presence. God, I pray that as we go forth from this place, Lord, that each and every one of us knows that you go with us, that though life is not picture perfect, that we are perfect in your eyes. So God, we thank you and we love you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our closing song.